Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Lurking account. He's there, he just though. Watches from afar, but he's always, out there.
He'll just lurking. Slide into your DMs.
Hello, Egg Chasers. It's the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. Here after round four of the Heineken Champions Cup to dissect an amazing week in rugby from the, well, I was going to say comfort of the rugby. No, it is comfortable. Well, especially for these two who've got their their loungers that JB's just reclining on right now. That's JB.
Hello, Phil. Sorry, hello, Tim. Oh, my God.
And there's Phil.
Hello, JB, and hello, Tim.
So come on, let's get this out of the way. Why, we'll apologise in advance for the
poor quality of my broadcasting in particular.
Yes, and this is because it was Works Christmas Party Part 2.
Yeah, that's right. So last week was Department Christmas Party.
With Bass Hunter.
With Bass Hunter, yeah, of course.
go and listen to that last week's episode if you missed it.
Yeah, this week's Christmas party was in Chester, the grand city of Chester, where I didn't get to bed till about 6 in the morning, truth be told. Then by 9 o'clock the next morning, I'm on a Santa train going around a steam railway. By about 12 o'clock today, I felt more fatigued than one of those guys that does 48 hours on a crab fishing vessel. Do you know when they open...
In the freezing
yeah,
cold.
It was worse
Arctic conditions.
Worse than that, mate. Screaming kids everywhere.
Hero.
Screaming kids, 3 hours sleep and probably 10 hours of partying.
Yeah. Yeah. It was... my day yesterday, Tim. So, listen to this. We spend our weekends in different ways, I guess. Watched a bit of rugby. Went to my friend's house for some drinks. Got a train over to Chester. But before that, I was due to play a game of rugby. Top of the table, Oldham versus Tok H.
Big game.
Huge game. Huge game. Tok H, ready to go. Oldham, not so much.
And you know what? We're about to get the domestic derby matches in Pro 14, for example. This time of year, there's always some big... tasty games.
Exactly.
In leagues up and down the levels.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. So this would be as big as it gets.
This is like Exeter Saracens next weekend.
Yeah. There are some similarities which we'll get into, certainly. So you what would you like to guess what the score was?
I can't tell if you sound happy or not.
Yeah, it's good. You're a bit kind of guarded.
I think you've some refereeing decision because of some overzealous ref with a HIA or something. Or a high tackle. I don't know.
There were some overzealous people involved. There were some decisions involved, which no one's particularly happy about. Oldham didn't show up to the game. They didn't even phone us to tell us they weren't going. They just didn't show up because they think a 4G pitch is either dangerous or they don't have the right footwear. So they decided they would not show up.
What does not having the right footwear mean?
You already can wear anything on these pitch. I mean, we've actually got a pair of Jackson Ray's boots that he used to wear for Saracens on a plastic pitch, and they're just normal rugby boots with normal metal studs.
100%.
That's it. That's all you need. Just boots and studs.
So they didn't show... So was there any communication for them to say...
Friday was the last... communication, the league ruled that they had to play. They didn't even show up. They wouldn't even pick up their phones.
So have you automatically awarded 5 points and they're fined? Or
well, we've declined the 5 points because we want to beat them. Otherwise, winning the league's in our mind is illegitimate.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you going to play them on a regular pitch?
No.
Hold on.
Or plastic pitch?
Why have you done that?
I know. Well, at the time it seemed like a good idea. I'm sort of we're sort of regretting it now. But... you know, you've got to beat everyone. You can't just have a walkover.
It will create a very spicy game.
Oh, it's going to be
next time around.
When is that match? When is the rematch?
Good question.
It won't be sorted yet, will it?
Not yet. Probably end of. I mean, the funny thing is, we were struggling to put out. Well, we had a good first eight, but we were struggling with numbers. So, fantastic news for us. Because we can actually get our best team out now.
Well, I suspect there might have been a similar issue with them, hence the...
Oh, it's the
4G pitch. We don't like the 4G pitch.
Oh, but we're hard. We're from Oldham. The salt of the earth working class club. Oh, we're hard. No, you're not.
Well,
anyway.
Well, going from that and just picking up on what you said as a salt of the earth working class club, have you seen Ellis Genge's article in the Daily Mail?
I've read bits about it, yeah.
Yeah, so he's done a few articles this week. One with Alex Lowe in The Times where he turned up for the chat wearing like a hoodie with built-in goggles.
Yeah.
Well,
strong look.
Well, otherwise, you might lose your goggles.
100%.
Yeah. Very sensible.
Although, it is weird that you would have... I mean, if you want goggles, you might want them with different outfits, and I think that could be limiting somewhat.
Well, just get them sewn into every one of your outfits.
That's a very wise movement.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're right. Like, when you were younger, you would have your mittens sewn in on a bit of elastic down the sleeves of your coat.
Yeah.
When you need some goggles, have them sewn into your hood.
Well, did you have the old jumpers which had the Lego man stuck to it? Do you remember them?
I've no idea what you're talking about.
Came from Marks and Spencer's, and you had a little Lego man actually stuck to the jumper.
I can't remember it.
That sounds like it would have been a very cool thing to have had.
Yeah. You'd love that now, Phil.
Yeah, I would do, you're right. Mm.
Ellis Genge is speaking very, very honestly, refreshingly so, compared to, you know, one thing I think rugby, well, no, what, not, not I think, as far as I'm concerned, rugby's biggest asset are the people in the game, and that's up and down.
When they show up.
Any clubhouse you can go into, you'll get a warm welcome. And you'll get nice folk, and they'll find a position for you to play in and a team for you to play in. That's how rugby is. And at the top level, you have superstars who you could have a beer with in the pub.
Yep.
And they'd ask you questions and tell you stories, whoever you are. And Ellis Genge has been talking about. Well, he sort of covered some quite punchy areas, racism and social class as well.
Yeah. I like listening to Ellis Genge talk because even when he's wrong, and I think on some of these things he's just blatantly wrong, but you know, well, it's hard to say someone's wrong when it's their experience. But yeah, it's not an experience that I recognise. I just like the fact he just says what he thinks.
Yeah.
And that's it, really. That's why he's such a good interview. And that's why so many people like to listen to him.
Yeah. Yeah. So he sort of talked about the racism issue and it's as a barrier to rugby, but then he sort of moved away from that and said, "I'm not totally sure it's about the race thing. It's more a social cultural thing and it's more a class system."
Thing.
He talked about the public school system and stuff.
Yeah. So,
but he seemed to be talking about that in terms of a barrier to playing rugby.
But there is a barrier, isn't there, to a certain degree? And what I mean by that is, like, the level of rugby player that comes out of these private schools is so high that it does make it very difficult for anyone coming through. Not difficult. I mean, you can still play. There's no barriers to entry. You can always play. But you probably are not going to get this level of coaching, the dedication to your development, or anything else that you're going to get in one of these top private schools. And I think that is a barrier of sorts, but it doesn't stop you playing. You know, I never got that, but I still play. So, yeah, maybe he's got a point. And do you know what? It's getting more and more competitive. Did you read the story the other day about the New Zealand school?
But that story of the New Zealand school, that was the one school, you know, really aggressively targeting players and recruiting them on scholarships. That happens in English schools. I was playing for my like rough comp in West Berkshire. The mean streets in Newbury. No, but I got offered scholarships for some of the rugby playing schools in East Berkshire, Pangbourne, and you know schools over there, and it probably would have done my rugby a whole lot of good.
Definitely,
it would have done loads of good, but I didn't do it. But I think we live in Manchester right now, and my lads get into secondary school age. There are not comprehensive schools anywhere in Greater Manchester that play rugby union.
You're absolutely right. Absolutely right.
So this barrier that Ellis Genge is talking about, it may exist, but it isn't anyone's having the door shut on them. You can't come in. You're poor. It's actually just there's no opportunity to start that ball rolling.
But there's also no opportunity to play ice hockey. You know, if they don't play it, they don't play it. You know, it's not a class thing. They just don't play it.
Yeah.
I will say this though, the RFU are very, very good. Around here, the experience that I've had with them, going into schools and helping clubs. If you want to set up a club or if you want help, the RFU are tremendous. And I don't know whether that's going to change with budget cuts and all the rest of it. But, the RFU could not do more to get people into the game. That's just my experience of working with them.
And you're starting to see that. Leinster, as an example, have based their team. When you actually look at the schools that their academy graduates that now in their first team, when they come from the big rugby-playing schools, Blackrock, for example.
Yep.
But they're getting more and more guys from the north of Dublin, the meaner streets, and they're getting more guys not coming through that school system that are coming through local club system. Tig Furlong,
yeah.
An example. There's many an example, and Ennis Genge is one that there's a lot of untapped potential. So I would sort of disagree with Ennis Genge that there's anyone keeping people out. I don't think Blazers and Posh Toffs that is keeping people out. I think
they keep everyone in the game, if anything.
More could potentially be done to proactively go out and try and recruit people, because we can see from Ellis Genge there's a lot of talent.
There is, yeah. There is. Rugby?
Yeah.
Well, do we want to start where the Ellis Genge's talent was being applied?
No, why don't we do it?
Let's do it chronologically.
Let's firstly congratulate
you,
Northampton, on not losing this weekend.
Yep.
Well done.
Yes. Congratulate you, actually.
Yes, so, your performance on Friday night.
Yeah, so this is how I now watch BT Sports games. I like to mix the better game with the better build-up. So I really enjoyed the Scarlets build-up, watched it. Top to bottom, fantastic. Even turned over for half time. Completely irrelevant to my rugby watching experience. But then I went and watched the other game. I recommend everyone do that.
I can just say, having now done it and done the presenting part, so the reporting part I absolutely love. And you chat to the DORs and the players, and it's kind of your job to, in very small packages, just kind of add and push on the story or dig or try and reveal things or whatever. And but when you're like the host and holding it all together, I think that the nearest, I was thinking about this and trying to describe it to a mate of mine who called me up and said, how was it? And I said to him, because he's sort of in an office job, I said, imagine doing a presentation to your teammates whilst trying to have a phone call with your boss at the same time. Because the amount that's going on in your ears,
I bet.
And trying desperately not to look like you are concentrating on what's happening in your ears. And yeah, it's. I've got so much respect for those people that are amazing.
God, they're heroes.
Craig and Sarah and Bafes are brilliant. So yeah.
I thought you did very, very well, mate.
Yeah.
Very well.
I had a great time.
Agreed. And you had John Barclay alongside who was very good.
What a lovely bloke.
Yeah, he came across very well. It was interesting to
And who's the other one? You had Barclay and
Ferris.
Ferris, who's doing co-coms as well.
Is he big in real life?
Yeah, he is. He's big.
Hmm.
Very big guy. He's so popular at Ravenhill.
I bet.
There was this little old lady. I can't do it. I was going to do an Irish accent. I won't do one. This little old lady came up. She had a flask. Stephen, how... Would you like a cup of tea? Would your friends like a cup of tea?
Yes.
Got some cake.
It's like Mrs. Doyle from Father Ted.
It was great.
I thought Barclay was very good. He spoke very well. And it's interesting to get that perspective, because until recently he's been so involved in the Scarlets camp, so he knows everything that's going on there. Mm. But he's now like a little bit more detached, and so he can probably be a bit more objective than someone who's still entrenched in the camp. So no, I thought it was very good. I thought the whole thing was very good.
Mm. Well,
the game was good as well.
Yeah, well, I didn't watch this. I was watching the other game.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's just very quickly, rather than getting into a specific game, let's just have a quick like bird's eye view on where things stand. And because this is the weekend where we've kind of got a real shape to what's going on. And a couple of things to pick out of that is, let's get the pool.
So the pools.
Yeah.
Yeah, so go like pool one... hold on a second. There we go. So pool one, Wasps and Bath are gone. Leinster and Toulouse are going to both qualify. It's just who qualifies top. And that will be based on the next game in Dublin, which is going to be the game of the tournament so far.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Pool two is wide open.
This is the most open of any pool.
Yeah.
Any one of those four teams can theoretically still qualify.
And Munster would have looked at that result at King's Home on Friday night, Exeter, Gloucester, which I'm sure we'll talk about, and they will have thought, brilliant, that's the result we wanted, Exeter winning. Now we can really put one foot in the quarterfinals.
Yeah.
And they blew it, and there's plenty to talk about in that game. Saracens and Glasgow are probably going to qualify from Pool 3. The Blues and Lyon have been poor, and they're gone.
Looks like it. Bit of a scrappy win for Saracens, but a win on the road.
Yeah, you'd expect the Saracens to top the pool, one of the top seeds, and Glasgow to qualify. In Pool 4, Racing and Ulster. So Racing will definitely qualify and top. Leicester and Scarlets are gone. Ulster will be one of those on the border of...
Yeah.
Much like last season.
And I was looking back, and last season they just needed something out of the trip to Wasps. When Wasps had no skin in the game at all, and they couldn't do it. So I'm hoping it's better. And I'm very encouraged by the two results against a good Scarlets team. Mm. Two bonus point wins against Scarlets is impressive.
Yeah.
And Pool 5, Edinburgh and Montpellier look like the two that could emerge. Probably, I would guess. Possibly. Oh, no, it could get two, because Montpellier could end up winning the pool, but Edinburgh qualify as a runner. So the sort of big takeaways are Scotland could well have two sides in the quarterfinals, which is massive.
So Pool 5 is interesting, right?
Yeah.
Do you think that's the time to just throw as much money at Richard Cockerell as possible?
But we've seen it. We've seen Cockerell with this squad, with 98% of this squad, and it did not finish well.
It didn't finish well. But maybe that was Aaron Major's fault after all. Maybe it was Major's fault. Because he's doing some job at Edinburgh.
He's doing a hell of a job.
And look at that. Newcastle, Montpellier, Toulon. Right at the top of the tree, Edinburgh. That's brilliant.
Yeah.
Who have Edinburgh got? Edinburgh go to Toulon and they've got Montpellier at home.
Yeah. So look at that. You know, Montpellier probably are still hot favourites to top that group, because they're Montpellier and they're massive. They need to pick up two wins. One against Edinburgh, they will do them in the top spot. But it looks like Edinburgh will still qualify.
Yeah. Yeah, I think... Edinburgh need a win. They need one win out of the next two games and they should qualify.
I can't help thinking we might have history repeating and Ulster just miss out again.
I know. I'm hoping not. So, McFarland has come in and done some very good things. He seems to have got the team playing in a way, and particularly the defensive structure playing in a way that, well, if you can shut Scarlets down in the way that they have done over the last two games, they're looking not too bad. So I'm just hoping that we can get one win from the next two, hopefully against Tigers, and then sneak in with kind of maybe a bonus point.
And here's a prediction then. So I'm going to say there'll be three French teams.
Yeah.
Two Irish teams.
Yeah.
Two Scottish teams and an English team in the quarterfinals.
The English team will be Saracens, yeah?
Two Irish, not three Irish.
Yeah. Mm. I'm going for Ulster. I'm going for Ulster missing out.
Yeah.
And Edinburgh getting in as one of the runners-up. And so my point being, that's just, I mean, it could play out differently, obviously, and Exeter could emerge, but... What does it say about the Premiership that it's very conceivable that Saracens, who only snuck in eighth position last year, could also be the only English team in the quarterfinals?
It doesn't bother me, really. Swings and roundabouts. I mean, not so long ago, there was only one Irish team in and all the English teams qualified. It's a hard competition. And if you knew, or if the English teams were going through every year, then, you know, that would be... That would be something, but it stands to reason that these teams will rotate. The best thing as well is the sheer amount of different nations. I think it's only Wales that probably will end up with no representation in the.
Well, they definitely will end up with none.
Yeah,
yeah,
It doesn't bother me at all. Swings and roundabouts.
Hmm.
Do you think there's anything to read into it, Phil?
No, I generally do agree. I think it does show that certainly at the top half of the league. Pro 14 compared to Premiership, arguably a little bit stronger. There's more teams that can compete at this higher level.
Yeah, and also it is a funny year. Like Bath and Wasps are just not that good. I mean, that's what it comes down to.
Not just this year for those two.
Yeah, Gloucester are the ones. They're so disappointing. Because I just settled in on Friday and finally got my head around. I mean, I love Exeter, so I just got my head around the fact that Exeter are going to lose tonight. It's going to be the end of another European dream. But the good news of all this is I get to watch this Gloucester team develop and push on forward, and it's a nice story. Just as you accept that as a fact, Gloucester go and absolutely ruin it at home against a team that they beat last week and lose.
But it's that Exeter team. And so looking at... So the way that I look at the Premiership at the moment, and I think the table reflects this, Saracens are the best team, Exeter are comfortably the second best team, mm-hmm. and on form this season, Gloucester have been the third best team. And you've got the second best and third best team picked together in a pool, and in a bloody tough pool as well, because as Munster found out, Cast are no mugs.
No.
They are a very, very difficult team to play for lots of reasons. They play right on the edge of the law, but that is a really tough group, that pool
and too. I'm just going to take the opportunity to bang that drum as well for Joel Abt, who's an English coach over in Cast, doing brilliant things. Joel Abt.
Did you know him?
I might have bumped into him a couple of times. let's talk about that game, and let's talk about the controversy, because predictably enough, social media is awash with very, very bitter Munstermen and Irish...
Irish
blogs,
all of them.
Yeah, but it wasn't so long ago, was it, that Andrew Conway didn't he do like an outrageous thing that should have been a red card recently in a game?
I don't remember.
My point being exactly what you said about it swings and roundabouts is fine. I go it swings and roundabouts. There's no conspiracy. Oh yeah, it was against at Sandy Park. Andrew Conway did that like flying shoulder to Steenson's head.
Did he?
Yeah.
Which went unpunished from the kick.
From the conversion. He followed through. First game of the season, he followed through on the conversion.
Yeah. And nothing happened. And a lot of people, yeah, just fair enough, that happens. You get some calls, you don't get some calls. You can't only moan when you don't get the calls.
So what was the call that they didn't get?
There's a few. So there's the Conway knock on for a try that was disallowed.
Definitely.
It was rightly disallowed, although there is an argument that it could have been a penalty try because he knocked it on because the Cast number 10 dived in kind of feet first as he was trying to collect the ball.
And Brian O'Driscoll said today that he thought it was a knee first at the player.
Uh-huh.
I think what was actually happening, and I always like to try and think the best of a situation.
Uh-huh.
I genuinely think that the Cast fly half, what's his name? Not Boxies. No.
No.
Well, I can't.
Don't know.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. Anyway, I genuinely think he was trying to kick the ball out. He realised that Andrew Conway was going to get there first. It would probably be a try. And I think he was trying to reach his toe out to kick the ball.
So I agree. I think there's one angle where you slow it down. It looks horrific. I think when you watch it in real time from like sideways on, certainly from the angle that the referee would have seen it, it is just two players going for the ball and Conway gets there marginally before him. So I don't actually think these decisions were that controversial. There's maybe I think it was Cocker on the floor, puts his hand in someone's face. That could have been a penalty. It could have even possibly been a yellow card. But
It's being talked about as a possible very long ban for gouging.
Is it going to be cited? Or is it cited?
Well, it hasn't been cited yet.
From what I've seen,
I think it can be by tomorrow. But again, trying to think the best. Unfortunately for Cocker, he's got previous. And who knows, there may have been malicious intent. Who knows? But I think the guy that Cocker pushed was he was lying on the wrong side, preventing the ball from coming out of a ruck.
Get his
eyes. Cockett was the guy...
Take his eyes.
Yeah.
Bit of ruck justice.
Yeah, totally. Cockett was the ball carrier with the ball. And I think he was pushing him just to say, get the hell out of the way. He did that in the face. So that he's left himself open to being accused of it. But I don't... sure.
Yeah. I think... So this is... It's a very tough place to go. And Munster have got a very good, very well-drilled pack who were disrupted and disturbed and prevented from doing their normal things, playing their normal game. So Cast played right on the edge of the law and played to the referee to an extent and got away with it. So fair play, Cast. There's not many teams who would want to go up against that Cast team in Cast as well. They are tough.
Totally. And on the potential accused alleged gouging thing, Wayne Barnes is coming up for a lot of criticism because...
For gouging again, Wayne?
Wayne Fingers Barnes. Yeah, he's coming up for a lot of stick from people criticising him because he didn't actually review it with the TMO. However, I just want to actually say fair play, Wayne Barnes, and well done, because the fact that what happened is Peter Omani went up to Wayne Barnes and said, one of my players said that he just got gouged. You need to have a look. And Wayne Barnes has gone, do you know what? It's on tape. If it needs to be got, it will be got. But I didn't see it. And so Wayne Barnes was not wanting to set a precedent where if you ask for something, then I'll take it to the TMO, which is the right way to do it.
Yeah, fine. It's something as serious as gouging, I guess a lot of refs would go, oh, best have a look at that.
Yeah. Or, but that's what the TMO is there for, to proactively say, Wayne, I've just seen something I want you to have a look at. It shouldn't come from players on the field.
Yeah, where it's very serious foul play.
Yeah, it is weird that, isn't it, that you've got to wait for the TMO to interrupt, but the players can't, and they're actually there looking at the things.
But you open that box and you will get appeals constantly.
Left, right and centre, people will be appealing.
So it is interesting, with all that controversy, obviously Cast won, and that means that this group is potentially, I mean, Exeter could legitimately still go through.
Only one side's coming out of that pool.
Okay.
But any side could top the pool.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, I see what you mean.
Yeah.
They've got to win the pool, and that's not exactly easy.
So Exeter are going to have to win two bonus points.
Yes.
And hope that Munster lose.
Well,
the game.
Exeter do play Munster. So yes. Exeter have to hope.
Actually, if Exeter win with two bonus point wins and deny Munster a losing bonus point, then they could win regardless of what Munster do.
Unless,
yes,
of course,
they could do.
Gloucester win two bonus point games.
Because I think if you're tied on points, then it's the head-to-head.
Right. Yeah. So Gloucester could keep them out if... Well, yeah. In fact, everyone can keep them out.
And the games are... Gloucester have got to go to Cast next.
Yeah. So that will not be easy.
Oh, no, hold on.
No.
Cast come to Exeter. And then Exeter have to go to Munster in round six.
Yeah.
So Gloucester have Munster next at King's Home. Or is it?
Yeah, it will be. It will be. So that is winnable for Gloucester. God, that is by far the closest pool.
Yeah.
It's the only pool where anyone can legitimately qualify.
Obviously, you didn't watch the Gloucester game, Tim. You were busy presenting other games. Did you watch the Gloucester game, Bill?
No, I
watched the Ulster game.
Did you?
Of course I did.
Pride Ulsterman.
Of course I did. Another bonus point win. Stockers finishing again.
Oh, the guy,
he's so good.
Freak.
He's so, so good. Because he didn't have many chances.
No.
And it was just that one little... is the read from the two of them, from him reading that Billy Burns had read that, I think it was Steph Evans, was slightly too far forward. The fullback wasn't covering across. And there was there was kind of like a 5-yard square that he could dink that ball over, bounce it into, and it bounced up perfectly. And Stockers just had the pace and strength to get in from there.
Is Stockers Ireland's best young winger?
He might be the world's best young winger. Well,
Rico Ioane.
Jordan Lamour?
I think Stockers is better.
Stockers broke the record for number of tries in the Six Nations, won the Grand Slam, beat Ireland, tearing up trees with Ulster.
He's
unplayable. He'd be in a World 15 if you were picking one.
He's very good, isn't he?
He would be.
Very, very good.
Because he's so quick. He's so strong. He's so big and so strong. But he reads the game phenomenally well as well. He's complete package for me.
Yeah, Ireland, they're going to be a nightmare. Did you watch, just thinking of Irish players, did you watch how effective Simon Zebo was?
Yes.
Against Leicester.
He's on really good form this season.
Isn't he just?
I mean, to jump into that game, seeing as we're in the group, the first try, I mean, his line was superb, but that Leicester defence...
Oh, they're bad.
It was like there was no... It appeared as if there was no communication at all, because Thompson just shoots off past Zebo, as if he's getting a call from the inside saying, go, 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 go. But there's no one making the, no one on the inside making that call. So he just shoots off, and Zeebo just strolls through that hole, and then the pass out to him off and him off. It's easy. It's like a training ground.
I genuinely don't understand how professional rugby players can be so bad at defending. I'm trying to be funny. I genuinely don't understand it, because we all know we need to talk.
Yep. So
that's basic rugby 101. That's the biggest difference between amateur and pro teams when you watch them train is the
how
noise.
Much? Yeah, yeah.
It's all
and
noise.
And if you... Yeah, because on that Adam Thompson one, you're right, you're right. If you had to make a decision one way or the other, you go, I'll give them the outside.
Yeah, yeah.
Not, I won't.
You should only push if he's getting the call from the inside.
Yeah.
But, well, if Manu was calling from the inside, Manu's got it completely wrong. I just can't believe that Manu would have
and
called.
And you would do that thing where you call it defend soft. So yeah. Rather than flying up and out, you fly backwards, like you run, flag it, you run almost diagonally backwards.
The line-out was on the halfway line. So you can afford to give away 20 yards as long as you make the tackle. But they gave away, 50 yards and didn't make any tackle. No one put a hand on.
Do you not think
the Racing players?
The Iber, I can't remember, what's his name? Teddy Iber, whatever his name is.
Yeah, Iberon.
Iberon. Do you think his first try was more egregious? I mean, when a little nine is running 5 yards out and you're in a dog leg on your own...
He powers through two tackles.
A groundsman has gone through the effort to make the defensive line for you and you still can't keep it straight. Just dink that down, thanks. Smallest guy on the field, not a problem.
It's hard to think that that's coaching because, as you say, this is so basic.
It isn't it?
Is it? And I was watching this in Dublin looking at Bath. So let's sort of club Leicester and Bath together. You can't help thinking this like a mindset.
Yeah,
issue.
You're absolutely right.
I don't know, unless they're being coached to, just push if you feel like pushing.
Yeah, push. No matter what the man inside you says, just push. It'll be right.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone else will have to react.
Defend as you feel.
Hippie defence.
No judgment here.
I think so. In Leicester's case particularly, I think there is massive communication problems there and kind of discipline and structure problems. I think in both cases, just blaming the defence undersells just how good the attacks were, just how good both the Leinster and that Racing 92 attack, because they are both, I mean, they are two of the three best teams, or two of the four best teams in Europe at the moment.
I think Racing look amazing. They're definitely the most fun to... Actually, I'll ask you boys, who is the most most fun to watch? Because I think it's Racing.
Racing have got to be up there.
Yeah. Toulouse with Cheslin Colby and...
They look bloody good.
And the offloading game and Kaino offloading for fun. Yeah.
Yeah. The Kaino pick up off of his toes was class.
So I always think two things, really. I always think lots of things. but fundamentally, I think when English and Australian teams play really well, they play well and they play rugby league, kind of quite a lot of intricacy and running lines. And,
yeah, the kind of dummy running lines.
Yeah, that's what English teams do really well. Which leads to my second thing, which is I always think that teams who haven't got, or countries that don't play rugby league and don't have a huge amount of rugby league coaches easily available are a massive disadvantage. So that's one of the reasons I think that France aren't doing too well, and South Africa can struggle from time to time because they need rugby league coaches in order to put this together. But when France do play well and French teams play well, it's completely different because instead of this rugby league style thing, it's smash it up and then offload from anywhere.
Yeah.
Anywhere.
But it's the offloads that are made because of the way that the supporting players read the play.
Yeah.
So when the offloading game is working well and you're getting kind of positive, strong carries, good yak, and then looking for the offload with a man flying onto the offload.
Yeah.
And he bends the line a little bit further, and then the third man bends the line a little bit further, and then so many defenders have been sucked in that there's room out wide that you can spread it a little bit.
But it's fundamentally like a different style of play, isn't it? I mean, you're looking for different sorts of spaces. So, yeah, those are the two things that I think about when French teams are good. And this is a bloody good team. Do you always get...
It is a very good team.
Yeah. What always gets me about the European Cup is how much stuff I don't know. Like, I was looking at the Racing team, who I even watched last week, and I don't know half the names of the pack. Toulouse, who are probably the top team in the top 14 at the moment. If they're not, I think they're second or something. literally, I don't know.
You know Kano.
I know Takori. I know Kano. That's it. Honestly, that is it.
Yeah.
Could you name those guys? If I asked you
Francois Croix, the six. I kind of know. Oh, and Julian Galan on the bench.
Did he play?
Julian.
Yeah, he was on the bench.
He was amazing 5 years ago.
When he was a young up-and-comer.
Yeah, amazing.
Well, we at Rugby Podcast, we've had loads of people getting in touch with questions and thoughts and stuff. Firstly, Tello number 9 says, got any Stollen?
No,
we've not had any Stollen yet.
Your wonderful Stollen in
God, that was about 4 years
your
ago.
Your wonderful homemade Stollen, that was a reference to. So, Tello, thank you for listening for so long.
I might have to try and make some this year.
Oh, delicious.
It was good, that, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And what was it? David Belshaw had a question. How will Tigers fare in the Championship next season?
So, good question.
Tigers are on their worst run in the professional era.
Since 1975, I heard.
Yeah, well, so the
leagues.
Yeah. Well, that was even pre-league. There was no such thing as the league in 1975. It was all friendlies.
Yeah, but didn't they do it? They sort of guessed where this. By the way, I'm making this up.
I don't know if this. You might may well be right.
Yeah.
On
so
this.
You had a huge table, right?
Is it like a ladder? Oh, right. I see.
Yeah, a huge table, including the Welsh teams, from what I remember, and they'd have fixtures which they played and fulfilled every year, and they'd sort of do it almost like college football, like you sort of guessed which is the best team.
Okay.
So, like, if you had an unbeaten year, you might be at the top of the league table, something like that.
Okay.
I'm sure I'm making this up.
Eight straight defeats.
Yep.
There's talk of Dave Ellis coming in to sort out the defence.
The defence coach.
So he's at Lyon at the moment.
Yeah.
Or is he? I think he's consulting, you know.
That's a great gig, that. You get none of the responsibility.
Yeah.
You get a big load of wedge.
Yeah, consultant. Mike Ford, not seen him at Tigers yet. I thought that would have been a great signing. Brad Davis is another guy who's been linked to the Tigers job. Now, is he on Australia? Was he at Wasps, Brad Davis? Have I got that? No, hang on, that's Bradley Davis.
The second row of the Welsh.
I'm sure Brad Davis was at Wasps, though.
Don't know.
Why didn't you Google it for me?
That's what I'm trying to do right now.
Well done.
I've got Brad Davis actor.
Yeah, that's the guy.
Anyway, they need to sort their defence out. But like you say, it's more than that. And I mean, it's weird when you look at the names of the players in the squad and then look at the performances on the field. They don't tally together. Except they're just the back row. Oh, I don't know, but then Brendan O'Connor and I don't get it.
They're definitely good enough to be fourth.
Well, they've got the personnel.
Yeah.
Or they've got most of the personnel to justify a top four spot. They have only ever seen it in glimpses, or only ever shown it in glimpses, for the past three seasons.
Mm.
Yeah.
Now, just on Tigers, whilst we're here, there is talk of a new Manu Tuilagi deal in the offing. Because this last one was an unmitigated success. They're going to do it again.
Yeah.
Would you keep Manu Tuilagi?
No,
I wouldn't either. Phil?
Pay as you play.
Depends on the deal.
No.
So, his old deal, which I believe is something in the region of 450. Yeah, about that much. Probably not.
Definitely not.
Probably not.
It's like asking Worcester Warriors fan, would you fancy extending Ben Teo's contract?
Nope. Not interested in that.
Well, and particularly, this ties in with, I don't know if you saw Dai Young talking to BT Sport. He spoke really amazingly, very, very honestly. Him and Nick Eastwood from the club have come out and addressed some of the things that have been talked about. Talk of players leaving, talk of training ground facilities that have been linked to the reason Elliot Daly wants to go. And they've come out and Dai Young just said, look, there are a lot of other clubs that weren't spending the salary cap that are now suddenly spending the salary cap. Sale, Worcester, he didn't name
them. Whoa, Sale are not spending up the salary
cap. They will be next season.
Well.
100%.
They will be. Okay.
Sale, Worcester, and another, I don't know. Anyway, point being, other clubs are spending more money. So Bristol have come in and they're, you know, rumoured to be offering Nathan Hughes £500,000 a year. Sale are rumoured to be offering Jake Cooper-Woolley eye-watering amounts of money to come as a tight head prop. And Wasps can't compete. So teams that like Leicester as well, who are already spending the salary cap, don't have any additional money to spend. So when people come in for their guys with a bit more money,
That's how it should work, though, isn't it?
Absolutely. That is how salary cap should work. So you're going to see a bit of a redistribution of players. Doesn't seem to affect Saracens, but...
Yeah.
They
wear a lot of nice watches, those Saracens boys, don't they? Lots of nice watches. Why do you need three watches on the same arm? I'll never understand that.
Why have you got three on each ankle?
Yeah. Bizarre. But they're never late.
But yeah, there's some English sides going through a bit of a transition. Bath as well, who are rumoured to be getting Andre Pollard for next season.
Bath get linked to some players. Any big name that's coming to the Premiership, they get linked to.
But Andre Pollard, that's the one. And Freddie Burns, I've got a lot of time for. I think he's a great bloke. Reece Priestland, is a really top guy. Great, both brilliant professionals. But if you had to go, do you want Priestland and Burns, or do you want Andre Pollard? I know where my money's going.
So I would look at it slightly differently. Don't get me wrong. I want Andre Pollard. That's the guy I'd have, right? But the fact that we say Riesland. Who the hell's Riesland?
Why haven't we called him that before?
Riesland or Burns. Priestland or Burns. It should Burns. Be Priestland or Burns, not Priestland and Burns. They would do themselves a huge favour if they just got rid of one of them. Yeah. Just get rid. Go on. And then you never need to worry about who you're backing, who your number 10 is, all that sort of stuff.
Why not go back in time and keep Adam Hastings and let one...
Because Adam Hastings was terrible at Bath. That's what people forget. He was awful.
He was, but he didn't get much game time.
No.
If you'd have just given him a bit more game time.
Yeah.
Just use young Englishman James Wilson.
Yeah, exactly.
keep playing him.
He gets more. He gets younger and more English every year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Andre Pollard would be amazing, an amazing capture. Mm. I don't believe it for a second.
It's not where I want this CVC money, which I think that there's talk that the deal's pretty much done and there will be some money. That's not what I want to see, though, is Andre Pollard. But then this brings us back around to ring fencing and we're not going to go around
that. But why do you not
want
to see
again.
Andre Pollard?
I think few of the best players coming into the league is exactly what you want.
Yeah, he's definitely the right
players. Yeah, yeah, actually, yeah, that's fair. Like, yeah, I'll take it back. Yeah, you're right.
Like Dimitri Katrakalis, I wouldn't want him showing up. No. I mean, nothing against Dimitri Katrakalis at all.
I'm sure he'd be he might take some offence to that, but I know what you mean.
Yeah, because he's not... the key guy in the Springboks.
Totally.
Like, Bowden Barrett would be more than welcome to come over and play in the Premiership too.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what you want. You want the spark, like, relatively sparse, but real talented players that other players around them can learn and develop off and that are going to bring fans and watchers into the game.
Mm. All right, a little tangent, then we'll return to the rugby.
Please.
Sports Personality of the Year has happened, or is happening, as we talk.
Yeah.
I don't know if the winner's been announced yet. Let me have a look.
It has.
Who is it?
Geraint Thomas.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Deserved.
I'm good with that.
Yeah, yeah.
I was disappointed that Rory Best or Stockers, maybe even, as we talked about, weren't really in the running, and Harry Kane was. Harry Kane, who scored a few goals at a World Cup.
He did. He scored a lot of goals.
He got to a semi-final.
Blew it in a semi-final.
I think that's a little harsh.
All right. Well, he
should be nominated, but so should someone.
I think it says everything about. Well, no, it doesn't say everything. I think it says something about British sporting mentality that.
It's just about the BBC. They're hopeless.
Yeah,
it's a pointless show. I don't know when the first one was, but it feels like something, some relic of the 50s. So it's a pointless evening. It's just not even worth paying attention to. It doesn't tell me anything about sport. I hate it.
So Harry Kane, fine, he had a good World Cup, Golden Boot. England got to a semi-final, didn't win anything. Rory Best and Stockers, Grand Slam, beat the All Blacks. I don't know if they won Team of the Year. I know, because that is Great Britain, isn't it? Northern Ireland, not.
Yeah, I don't think they were
nominated. And with Brexit going on, they're not going to go there.
Yeah. I mean, actually, I'm surprised with Brexit going on that they didn't do exactly that. Just prove a point.
Well, Stockers did win the
Northern Ireland.
I can't believe... What? The Northern Ireland one. I can only imagine how deep the field is for that.
Stockers, Rory Best, McCloskey.
Ruin Pino, five straight years.
Hendo after those two tries this weekend, he must have been pretty close.
Ferris is still on the list.
Yeah. Not played in the last 4 years.
But still there.
Yeah. Still a nominee every year.
And this is your last chance to get yourself, I'm just going to remind you again, last chance of 20 to, in time for Christmas to get yourself a Cornerstone razor or someone you love a Cornerstone razor for only a few quid.
Wow.
Amazing German precision engineered razors. Unlike these little copycat things that are trying to do the same thing. No plastic shaft. What's that about? You get an aluminium shaft engraved with your initials or the initials of someone you care about or love. Perfect Christmas gift. And because you listen to us, we can get that for you. Six razors in a presentation box with your free aluminium shaft engraved, sent to you from Cornerstone for just £4. Cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers. That's cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers or
Egg 10 checkouts.
Come on then, JB. What
was your highlight of the week, Jay?
Well,
in terms of the rugby,
I'm just going to pause this podcast for 2 seconds.
And we're back in the room.
So we're back in the room, yeah. So I just paused the podcast because I wanted to get the Wheel of Rugby, which is my new highlight. So now I haven't got
we came up with this on the piss, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. We were out in Italy and we thought, we need a new game.
That was when we were having a chat with some world-class anaesthetist.
That's right.
Yeah.
World's best anaesthetists.
Yeah.
Over 100 papers published.
Imagine someone coming up to you and having a conversation. What do you do? Okay, what do you do? I'm an anaesthetist. Oh, my wife. This is what Phil said. Oh, my wife's an anaesthetist. And so the guy said, she'll know who I am.
Yeah. That happens.
And she did.
Yeah. That happens to me quite a lot when some people say, yeah. I'm a podcaster. Yeah, I'm a podcaster too. And I'll go, yeah, they know me. It's exactly the same thing. So the Wheel of Rugby. I've basically got all the Premiership teams here. I'm going to spin that wheel. We're going to end up with a Premiership team. And then I've got another wheel full of positions. And I'm going to add another wheel to that next week. But that'll be for then.
Just two wheels for this week.
We're just going to talk for 5 minutes or 2 minutes or 3 minutes or however long it needs about what we have. So
I'll get a stopwatch. And if we get to 5 minutes, then I'll let you know.
Yeah. So here we go. Spinning the wheel. It's spinning.
Need a little sound effect for this.
Uh-oh.
Hold on. No, this isn't good enough production quality. Wait there 1 second. No, don't pause it.
Okay.
Spinning. Oh, tombola sound effect.
Tombola
sound effect. There we go. That's not a tombola. That's a bloody drum roll.
This is quality. This is
amazing.
This is high quality stuff.
We are really increasing those production values.
Wheel spin sound effect. It's not going to work, is it?
No, it's not going to work, mate.
Hold on. Try this. Here we go. Ready?
Yeah, go.
I am going. This is a big build up for just effectively you say in a club.
Bath.
Oh no.
Oh.
Anyway, and now.
Oh.
Second wheel.
Spinning weight. It's coming. There we go. That's what I was trying to get to.
Back row.
Back row.
What a great way to start.
And we could talk about anything there, couldn't we?
Basically, yeah.
So like Dan Lyle just popped into my head for some reason.
So
Dan Lyle, Captain America.
Captain America.
So the first Bath team I remember watching included Dan Lyle and also included, I want to say, no, it was someone Gardner. Now, I want to say Angus Gardner, but that's the referee.
That is the referee.
I'm sure there was an Angus Gardner who played back row for Bath. Why don't you Google it, Phil?
The first rugby team I ever went to watch was Bath, and Andy Robinson was the open side. Of course, Bath, though, much like South Africa, used to put their 6 and 7 in the opposite shirt.
Now, I heard the other day, I don't know if this is true, did Bath not play with a 13 shirt?
Yeah,
a while?
No, they used to play without a 13 shirt because it was bad luck.
That's ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
That is
like not
ridiculous.
Having row 13 on planes.
So, yeah, so their fullback was number 16 in the amateur days.
Angus Gardiner, not Gardner. Angus Gardiner.
Sorry.
Flanker.
Did I not say Angus Gardiner?
Yeah.
Gardiner.
Gardiner.
not Gardner.
Spelt, it's, you, spelt there is a guy same, like that, but it's just not spelt the same as the referee.
Oh, right.
The,
yeah. There you go. I remember him massive.
Flanker 6'1", 15 stone, so not massive.
Massive for those days. But, massive yeah. when, like, 6 foot guys were massive.
Ben Clark.
England A.
Hard.
Do you remember Ben Clark?
England A.
I do.
Yes. Steve Ajomo.
So he had 38 appearances, so not an enormous number of appearances. So there you go.
Andy Beattie.
Andy Beattie.
I'm just saying names.
No. Here's one for you. Michael Lippmann.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Now, was he one of the ones that was...
He was, yes.
Yeah.
And we all know
was he one of the ones that was officially, or
yeah,
rumored? Oh no, he was. Yeah,
no, he was in the thick of it. Yeah. Yeah, he was really good. For it. Do you know what really annoys me about this story is they were clearly guilty, right? They were clearly guilty. They clearly did something. Nobody tested them. Well, maybe they tested them eventually. They basically got grassed up. I mean, that is the worst of the worst, isn't it?
Grassed up by their own mates. By
yeah,
mates.
Basically.
But it's.
This is pre-social media as well.
Yeah.
For the greater good, though, surely. As
well,
in...
Would you grass me up? I mean, not I'd do copious amounts of cocaine on a bus.
When you're about to
or
play.
Or whatever they were doing. Whatever they were doing, we mustn't judge. But, you know, you wouldn't grass me up. You're a clean living guy.
Yeah, true. Unless you were affecting us from winning.
But wasn't it the end of the season Christmas party? No, end of season do, wasn't it? Against Harlequins.
Yeah.
So they were. I'm sure they were on the way to the church.
The church in London?
Yeah.
The church,
yeah. But it was the last game.
In morph suits?
I think it was pre-morph suits, if you can remember such a time. Yeah, that's what doesn't sit well with me, because we all, you know, everyone suspects that they got grassed up. And the worst thing about being about getting grassed up, I would imagine, is like, surely you want your mates to cover for you rather than...
Well, the one thing about it is there are some who... Well, I don't know the ins and outs of this, but I was living in Bath at the time. And there are some guys that were that never owned up, were never grassed in the same way, but were equally culpable.
Is that right?
Well, that was the word going round in certain circles in Bath at the time.
Yeah, I don't think I'd like to play it, but I wouldn't. I'd love to play in Bath. I'd hate to live there. I'd like to live there as a private citizen, so to speak, but I would not like to live there as a rugby player.
Because you're in the kind of public eye all the time.
Yeah, I mean, Bath is rugby, isn't it?
Oh, totally. Like, actually, that's one big plus side for any professional rugby player, if you happen to be listening and you're choosing a club. As much as the AJ Bell is one of the most soulless places to play
what?
Professional sport.
No, it's not.
It is. Manchester is one of the greatest cities to be a professional rugby player because you can do whatever you want and no one will bug you.
Yeah. You often see the sales shop. I mean, the Curry Boys will be walking around town and no one would ever know.
And the flip side is Bundiaki, you know, straight after beating New Zealand. You're not going to be very inconspicuous then, are you?
No, not really. That's a very good point.
In a team hoodie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't get that. Why more players don't come to Sale just to live in Manchester.
Well, there's a few who've like tried to get away from some of their past by coming to Manchester, like James O'Connor, Marlon Yard.
So it's almost the opposite.
Like Denny Solomon.
It isn't. It's almost the opposite to the Bath conundrum, which is let's grass everyone up. You come to sell because we'll hush everything.
Yeah. Diamond's got an enormous rug and just, everything just gets swept under it.
Here we go. Bath row. Scoring those tries.
Back row.
Bath on paper got the best set of back row in the Premiership at
in the
moment?
In the Premiership, yes.
100%. No one...
Do Bath... When you look at Bath's back row, do they need Mike Williams? No.
Unless they're losing someone.
Several people.
Yeah.
Because they've got really good people.
Lowe and Underhill.
Matt Garvey's a great guy.
Yeah.
His powers are waning. But you've got Francois Lowe and Underhill. They're like a Premiership pooper.
Oh, they're good. Those two are so,
they are so good.
So good.
And with Faletau coming back in the new year.
Wow.
And Mercer, who is ever improving. He's still not, for me, international calibre back row. But he is always improving. So, they've got some good
I don't think
depth.
Mercer will ever be an international calibre back row. There you go.
He's so young, he's 21.
Tell. Yeah.
It's not going to be a size, boys. It's not going to be there. Mind you, he is 6'4".
He's tall. He's just right now fairly slim. But guys
and you
are
tell,
mature
and you,
at
and you tell
rates.
That to the Irish back row, who aren't the biggest guys.
Yeah.
They're
but
not,
none of them are like Mercer. I mean, Mercer's a unique. If he makes it in internationals, it'll be because he's so unique. He certainly won't be in
Kieran
there.
Kieran Reid's not massive, is he? He just had this incredible rugby brain.
It's pretty big.
And those Irish guys, that's what they've got in common with these New Zealanders, is they're like in really horrible conditions, filthy conditions. They knew when to keep it tight, when to go direct, when the options were on, and then when they did have the chance, they took them.
Yeah, and they worked very, very well as a unit.
Conan is a big boy.
Yeah, I mean, they are pretty big. If Mercer becomes a world-class back row, it'll be because he's completely different to everyone else. He'll be world-class in his own right, but I don't think he's going to even be good enough at doing that. That's my thought.
I think he might fill out a bit more, or I would expect him to fill out a bit more. I'm not sure he will be an international-calibre back row.
Yeah, he's the sort of player that's going to score 6 tries against Romania in the 4th autumn international game, which they need to fill out. But Falatau, I mean, if you look at Falatau compared to him, you know, those are two guys who are vying for international eight honours in the same Bath shirt. Like, he is head and shoulders above the capability of what Mercer can do. Tim.
I've just remembered a couple of Bath back row players.
Oh, yes, please.
Like, here's one that should have been a world-class number eight and had all the physical capabilities. And I watched him as an under 21 and was like, and in the United team, I went down on a Tuesday night to watch a United game at the Rec. And one of the best young talents I've ever seen at that age.
Go on.
I'm going to guess. Is it Simon Taylor? Oh, no, because he came late in his career.
What a great player he was.
Yeah, yeah.
Gareth Delve.
Gareth Delve. Nice.
He was, like, yeah. His dad was a bodybuilder.
Yeah.
He was, Gareth Delve was enormous and rapid. Just a body wreck.
Was he Bath captain?
I'm not sure.
I think he might have been.
He should have been a... He should have been an 80 cap Wales player.
Do you know what Gareth Delve does with his time now?
No, what does he do?
Do you know?
No idea.
I actually interviewed him on Rugby Dungeon.
Mum's an author? I don't
know. No, dad's a bodybuilder. he's team captain at Bristol. Team manager at Bristol.
Team manager? Oh, really?
Is he?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Interesting. That's cool. What was I going to say?
Gareth Delve was one of the ones that was Bath and Gloucester.
That's right, yeah.
Wasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Now that's a 15. Bath to Gloucester switches.
Yeah, or vice versa.
Ollie Barkley, Mike Tindall Atwood. Banners, Atwood. There's quite a lot of them.
Yeah, Delve.
It would have been Carl Ferns.
Yeah.
But no, it's got to be direct switch.
From one to the other.
Yeah.
Mm. Maybe do that some other time.
And the other one I just thought of, one of the favourite players that I used to love watching was James Scaisbrook. And he totally changed as a player. When he came into Bath team, he was like this lithe, quick, really intelligent, amazing handling. And by the time he finished his career, he was just a brute.
Gnarly, nasty.
Anyone who tattoos stars to their elbows and knees, okay by me.
Good shout. I like the Wheel of Rugby.
There you go.
So I think the Wheel of Rugby, we need to evolve it. So we pull out a name and a team, and then we talk about it, but we don't say anything about rugby. We go off on a tangent about something completely unrelated for 5 minutes.
Okay.
Perfect. There you go, Wheel of Rugby.
Well, we did get onto Diamond's carpet.
Diamond's rug. Here we come.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Well, all right then. So we haven't mentioned, and we're not going to mention, and some people have been tweeting us at Rugby Podcast and just saying, you know, are you going to mention the Challenge Cup? I guess my response is no, be better. I like that it's making getting into the Champions Cup even a bigger deal.
Yeah.
Like you want to be at that top table.
It is a shame that we can't watch it, because there are some games that I'd love to watch.
No, there were. I'm being flippant, because there were some really good games this weekend.
I might be going to the Connacht away game. I'm looking forward to that.
That will be good fun.
I can't wait to visit Connacht if I go.
I would love to cover the Challenge Cup as well. But I think I've watched 7 or 8 games of rugby this weekend. I can't watch anymore.
Yeah.
I simply don't have the hours in the day to watch any more rugby.
It'd be pretty, pretty difficult.
It's already kind of one.
Just because you want to watch Sale and Benetton.
I know. Benetton, who lost to bloody Harlequins this week after turning them over last week. So Connacht would be cool, and a Benetton game away would be pretty
very
cool for me, please.
Very cool.
Should we go over next? Well, do you want to talk about any more of these of this week's games in any depth?
We didn't really mention the Toulouse Wasps game.
Okay.
So this was from the first minute when Ouger picks up the ball and slides in for the first try. So
he's such a good villain as well, because he's so damn good.
So good.
So I tweeted out that I know it's wrong to like him, but I like him. That's it. I'm going to say it. I'm there. I like him. And then people just send me all the videos of face stamps and everything else. And you know what? I'd like him more. It's so wrong, it's right.
This was actually a very, very entertaining game. Some amazing tries, but Wasp just never quite got there. The Willie LaRue try, which was Elliot Daly breaking out of his own 22 and going 60 metres before passing to Willie LaRue, that was a sensational try. Mm. But Wasps disrupted at the line out, disrupted at the scrum, and just not as good. Toulouse looking great.
Sophine Guitoun, 29-year-old. Every time I watch him, he looks absolutely electric. I don't think I've ever seen him play for France.
He has played for France, definitely.
Has he?
Yeah.
Because he is. Every time I watch him play, he's awesome.
Yeah, he is a good player. He definitely played.
I don't know where you go with this for Wasps. I mean, it feels a little bit like they've kind of given up. 42-27. That's a massive beatdown. It's a massive beatdown.
To score 27 points away at Toulouse is not a massive beatdown.
It is, mate. Conceding 42 points.
Did you watch the game?
I did watch the first half, actually.
So you would have seen those two really good tries.
Yeah, but they've still conceded 42
they
points.
They have. It's not a massive beatdown. It was a comfortable win for Toulouse in the end.
Now, there is some sort of silver lining to all this Wasps carry-on at the moment. In fact, I think a substantial silver lining.
Elliot Daly's going to Saracens?
No.
To open up, what was the coffee shop he said they had? Him and Jamie George?
He called it something like... I can't remember. D&J's or something like that.
George.
As if that's going to come up on a Google search.
Regulation search. Yeah. No chance.
So the silver lining is, I think they found a legitimate cult hero in Michael. I can't say his name. Le Bourgeois. I think it's an amazing story. He's 28 years old, and he seems to be playing better and better and better. I think he's not just a legitimate Premiership player. He's a legitimately good Premiership player.
He is. He is doing good things.
Booge.
The Booge.
And he looks cool.
He does look very cool.
And I think this highlights it, and I'm really pleased that more Premiership sides, I mean, it's been forced on them because of the salary cap issues, they are now realising how much talent there is in the Championship, because that league, for years and years and years, and ridiculously, there's been a lot of clubs that have been signing journeyman players in their 30s on massive wedge who then didn't pan out. That was what Sale Sharks were guilty of a few years ago. And meanwhile, teams like Saracens have been supplementing their star players with guys like Chris Wiles
yeah.
and Baz Barrington. And there's a bunch
loads
of others
of
as well.
Yeah.
There's tons of them from the championship.
Duncan Taylor. Yeah, there is loads and loads and loads.
Thomas Francis to Exeter from Doncaster.
Yeah. Christian Judge
from the Pirates to Saracens.
So, Will Griffith-John.
Yes.
Yeah.
There are so many examples of great championship players. So I just with the whole ring fencing thing, that league, and people complain about the Challenge Cup getting no coverage. Championship gets zero coverage, and there's a lot of talent there.
I just think about this, which is like he's 28 years old, 6'3". He's been ripping up at the championship level for quite some time. It does feel like someone should have given him a chance a lot earlier than when he was 28.
Did you see the interview with him?
Yeah, I did actually. That's sort of what brought it up, when he was talking about how to improve as a player and
yada. But some of the criticism he'd got from when he was at Bedford, and he said he was close to actually being sacked from Bedford, but instead of sacking, because he was perceived to be lazy and didn't care about the team.
Wow!
And instead of sacking him, they made him club captain.
I do love that when that happens. Give the captaincy to the guy who least deserves it, and hopefully he'll deserve it more.
The most talented but least deserving player.
Hold on.
Hello, guys. You've heard all about it, so welcome to Cafe Jinx a la Dave.
You find that fair play?
There are so many videos. If you type in Jamie George and Elliot Daly, there's so many videos of the two of them chatting together. They are clearly really great mates.
Yeah, they really are.
I wonder how much that has to do with a move.
Oh, definitely.
Would you move to another club because your best mate's there?
Yeah. Well, actually,
they might have had a conversation like, either you come to Coventry or I'll come to London.
Yeah, it must happen because, like, you know, in England and all the rest of it, they must be needling each other. And they are brutal to each other. Like that's the other thing too. So, you know, if us three were hanging out and you happened to play at, you know, Wasps and we played at Saris,
legit, could happen.
Yeah, I mean, we'd be all over you all the time. All the time. Yeah, so it doesn't surprise me in the slightest.
Yeah, and those two are very funny together.
Although, can I just say, although I said, it'd make a difference if my best mate was in a rugby club, I might move to theirs. I know it would make no difference what club I'm at to my best mates. Would it, Phil?
Absolutely not.
So, yeah.
You've never played with Phil?
No, he's not really interested. Even though he's got loads of time now, loads of spare time. He just needs to show up on one Saturday. All it takes, we played one game together ever in New York.
We played sevens together once as well.
That doesn't really count.
That's the only time I've played with you, was Chorlton Knights.
One game of 15s together in New York.
Yeah.
Tearing it up as a centre partnership.
I know. It's going to be a beautiful partnership.
And watch out for St Albans Cafe Jinx a la Daily.
Yeah.
Opening soon.
There you go.
Yeah, that move looks like... Well, actually, it's probably a good time to talk about it. Has Itoje signed an extended deal?
No idea.
For some reason, I thought he had this week. But it also looks like they're clearing the decks, i.e. making salary cap room. Marcelo Bosch might be going. Yeah. Berger might be
Berger's
going.
Dominic Day is going.
Dominic Day going? I wonder where he's going.
Retiring, I think.
Is he?
Yeah.
Interesting. So those three out. You might nearly be halfway to paying Elliot Daly.
Elliot Daly is worth some money.
Mm. Did I tell you this? I've got an interview, and I've not put it out yet, with Matthew Tate. I was going to put it out last week, but I just didn't. I've just not around to it. But we were talking about signing in other clubs, and you know why you would sign another club. You know what motivates you. And he told me, it's on the interview, you can listen to it yourself, when he went from Sale to Leicester, he went for a pay cut. And I wonder if Elliot Daly will be doing the same thing.
I wonder, because Tate didn't exactly have an amazing time at Sale, did he? He hardly played.
No, so always injured.
It might have been a reflection that he didn't prove value at Sale.
Well,
more than he proactively, because the big question would be, what was he being offered by Sale to stay?
Well, it wasn't Sale who's offering him a different contract. It was other clubs, so he went for a pay cut and less money.
Less money than he was on, but was it less money than he was on being offered by other clubs?
Yes, that's what I mean. Right. So there are other offers on the table, and he went for less money to go to Leicester to win things.
Yeah,
which I think is quite interesting.
It's powerful, but, you know, you want to have medals. The cash is one thing, but you want to have those medals in, on the wall, on the mantelpiece.
Well, because it does actually matter.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, literally, if Matthew Tate scores a try in the World Cup final, he's a World Cup medal holder. And his life is completely different to what it is now. Because winning things means you can do all sorts of other things.
Matthew Tate is one.
Yeah.
But which other players, at the start of this season, and because I'm just trying to think if they all are, which players were in the 2007 World Cup final for England who are still playing?
Was Flood?
I think it was three. Toby Flood, well Flood played.
There. Well done.
Flood, Tate, and there's one more.
Oh, God, Tate. Who would it be?
God.
I think props or hookers.
Yeah, but Vickery, Mears would have been there. Because props and hookers, they would have had to be very
Barkley,
young.
Ollie Barkley.
He's not still playing, is he?
Is he not?
Nope.
Are you sure Ollie Barkley's not?
No, I'm pretty sure.
Would it be someone like Tom Vondell?
No, he wasn't in that team, was he?
Might be in the wider squad somewhere.
Maybe in the... No, I don't think he was in the 31.
Mike Catt,
is he still...
He's still playing?
Still playing a bit. Jason Robinson, is he still playing? Dallaglio?
Martin Corey? Corey?
No.
No, I've got
Wilkinson's
no idea.
Not still playing.
Who's the other one?
Wigglesworth?
Hold on.
No.
Oh, no, those are the only two. Oh! There wasn't. I thought there was three.
Oh, so dear.
It was Matthew Tate. I should have just said Scout, who was
from the winning team. Scoutburger.
Scoutburger. There
still
you go.
Be playing.
There you go. Scoutburger. He's playing in the Premiership. There was three.
I knew
one
knew.
Was a South African.
Yeah. Yeah. It's yeah. So winning stuff does matter because I think that if Elliot Daly goes to Saracens, that will not be the biggest offer that he receives, but the chance of winning stuff with those boys is huge.
Oh, what?
And same for Jack Singleton if he goes.
Yeah,
allegedly.
What was the other question? We were in the on all the long journeys we had, you know, taxi journeys and sitting around over the weekend. There was a bunch of questions we were talking about, and the one was so. Let me just check this team. But there was one question we asked. It was, can you name the back row that played for England against Wales in 2005?
2005.
Yeah, it was the game that Gavin Henson.
I'm aware of it.
Mullered Matthew Tate.
Yeah,
and
don't think
Wales won 11-9.
I remember
in the Millennium Stadium as it was then.
So if I was guessing, Worsley,
Joe Worsley was number eight.
Was number eight?
What?
Bloody hell!
Yeah,
Lewis Moody.
No, Lewis
no
Moody.
Mad Dog.
Richard Hill.
No.
So those guys sort of Delaney at six.
No,
you would never have. Surely, you'd never have them that way round.
Insane.
I don't think you'll get them. So I'll tell you the teams,
Reece,
and then you tell me the
Tom
players.
Reece?
Tom Rees, no. No. So one from Sale, one from Gloucester.
Okay, so it's James Forrester and Alex Sanderson.
James Forrester was on the bench.
Pat Sanderson.
No.
Pat Sanderson. James Forrester, Gloucester. Someone like Buxton or.
No, so open side number seven. I just
not Seymour. Lund,
Andy Hazel, and Chris Jones.
Oh,
Chris Jones.
So the England back row was Jones, Hazel, Worsley.
And how did they lose that game again?
Wow.
Yeah.
That was kind of like the start of the Welsh reinvention. Well, you've got to remember how bad Wales were for so long. And it's only that World Cup when they nearly beat England. And that was sort of, well, they've had their ups and downs since. But that, to me, was when Wales, all my life, had supported Wales. And that was the first time they ever... in fact, that's the only time I can remember them beating England. I know they did beat them when Scott Gibbs danced over. But I wasn't really into it then.
Yeah.
Great, great day. A great, great day.
God, that was a beatdown as well.
Yeah.
Henson.
Yeah, that was amazing. It was absolutely staggering. Start of the Henson-Shanklin partnership.
Combo, yeah. Good partnership, that.
So, was that Peel? Was that Jones? Shanklin? Henson, Shanklin, Gareth Thomas.
Hold on.
Shane
You've
Williams.
Got, Peel, Jones, left wing, come on.
Williams?
Gareth Williams. 12.
Henson?
Yes. 13.
Shanklin.
Correct. 14.
It's going to be.
You're not going to get it. Wore a scrum cap. Wore a scrum cap.
Hal Luscombe.
Yes. 15.
Lee Byrne.
Gareth Thomas.
Yes.
Gareth Thomas.
Boom. Good team, Matt.
Go on then. And Pack. Loose head prop. Come on. Legend.
Gethin Jenkins.
Correct. Hooker. Was at Gloucester as a coach.
Jonathan Thomas.
No.
No.
Meffin Davis.
Damn
tight head prop. Come on.
Adam Jones.
Yes.
Are you sure it's not Duncan Jones?
No, it's
because Duncan Jones had a good run in the squad.
He was a loose head
in 2005. Oh, yeah,
of course he was.
Well, Duncan Jones played both sides, didn't he? Because in 2005, you wouldn't have two props on the bench; you'd only have one prop. So yeah, you needed someone who could cover both.
Oh, good shout! Yeah, you're right. Oh no, hold on. Yeah, you're right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Wow.
So was it Duncan Jones
on the bench?
It was Adam Jones.
Okay, fine.
Second rows.
Sadoli.
Sadoli, yes.
And it would have been his little mate, Goff.
No shoulders.
Oh, not Charter, surely.
No.
I know.
Cobain.
Brent Cobain. Yes. And then a back row.
He was hard, Brent Cobain.
Charvis?
I mean.
No. So the back row is Martin. Well, you're going to have Jones because he was captain, I think, that day.
Which Jones?
Well, obviously one of them.
I don't know.
Ryan Jones.
No, it says D Jones 6.
David Jones or David. The guy who played at Scarlets.
Yeah. Anyway, he was 6. Ryan Jones on the bench, I think.
Martin Williams.
So no, who's number 8?
Oh, Michael Owen.
Yes.
Ah.
Boom. There
good.
You go.
That's your era.
That is my era. It's all that me and Bryn Williams talk about is that era of rugby.
Friend of the pod, Bryn Williams. Barbarian. Yeah. Bryn
Barbarian.
Williams.
Yeah.
Right,
are we going to talk about some games and then we'll go home?
So we've not quite covered every single game from the weekend. We didn't really cover Gloucester-Exeter in any depth.
Yeah, I was just kind of disappointed with Gloucester. And, you know, as soon as Danny Cipriani... It shows how important Danny Cipriani is. Not just as a player, but as like a totem to that entire team. And I'll tell you something else which I find interesting. Owen Williams. You would think, wouldn't you, that Owen Williams would be the ideal 12 to Danny Cipriani? If you want, like, maximum creativity everywhere. And I don't think he's a very good 12. The reason I don't think this is because when you watch Brad Barrett play 12, right?
Ding! That should be a bell.
Well, because he's so... he's very easy to
watch. And who should Brad Barrett be playing for?
England.
Ding!
Right? But he's a good example of someone who does real basics real well. So do these starter plays that everyone's so fond of now. So, you know, you start the play, you give it to 12 and they run something and then away they go. Owen Williams looks to me like he's constantly trying to overplay things. So instead of like, you know, a Brad Barrett or whoever it is who just hit it up hard or straight or give that pass or whatever, you see Owen Williams maybe do like a little dummy, slow down before the line, look for a bit of space. And that's not the point of a starter play. If it was, you would have your best playmaker starting the play, but you just need to go hard and fast.
I've never heard this starter play. I know exactly what you mean, but is that a phrase that people use?
It is.
It's not quite in the vernacular that it would be on a little bingo card to watch a game with, which would have, what would that have on it? If you had a rugby, a Premiership rugby bingo card, maybe we should make one for Twitter.
Line speed. Starter play.
It would have line speed. It would have...
Boring in.
Momentum.
Momentum, yeah. Yep, yep.
What else would be on it?
There's one
at Rugby Podcast. Tweet us what should be on a rugby bingo card.
Yes.
Yeah. So Owen Williams just doesn't seem to fit this mould because he wants to play too much. He wants to be the 10. He doesn't want to be the guy who's just knocking the ball up or has a simple preset move which he has to run.
What was the word that you picked up on a little while ago that was constantly being said?
Oh yeah, it's gone now. Not recycling the ball.
Resourcing the ball.
God, that one's gone.
That was a 2-3 week period.
Yeah. Of where, stupidity. Yeah, we need to resource the ball. What?
You get some rugby recruitment consultants in here.
Yeah, we mustn't let that one die because people who are using that phrase need to be held accountable for life. They ruined 3 weeks of rugby. There are kids now, and that's ingrained in their psyche that need to resource the ball. No one knows what they're talking about. What are you talking about, son? Yeah, it's ruined a lot of rugby careers. That
I might stand on the side of a mini rugby game. Great resourcing.
That is wonderful.
Super resourcing.
Very briefly, back to Gloucester, Exeter. So It was very interesting to hear Baxter's comments after the game, where he was asked about, was anything done differently? And he said, yes, they kind of, they'd felt as a group that they'd almost gone away from their Exeter, like the things that make them Exeter. And they'd taken the opportunity after the defeat last weekend at home against Gloucester to almost reset those bases. So he said...
Well, it sounds ominous. It sounds like a Saracens Borg type system reset.
Yeah, it was very interesting the way he said it, though, because he said to reset some of our basics. He kind of said, I won't say what those basics are, but it was very interesting that as a consequence of that, like the Exeter thing that we see, the driving maul, the pick and goes, the really good scrummaging, they were improved as a consequence, but not of focusing on those, of focusing on other things. So it's quite an interesting, it's quite a guarded conversation, but very interesting to hear.
Oh, yeah, that is interesting.
Yeah. Oh, have I just pulled out my... That's fine. So, yeah, just back to these two teams. My original thought on the game was maybe Gloucester have got the team to match the individuals. And I looked at the two team sheets. Which of the Exeter team would you put in the Gloucester team?
Oh.
So, let me help you out. Would you put in Hepburn over Josh Honuck? Maybe.
Yeah, definitely.
Yendel over Vasaki?
Probably.
Coin flip, though, isn't it, really?
I've got more game tape on Yendel.
Yeah. Francis over Balmain?
No.
Okay. Ed Slater and Franco Mostar over Dave Dennis and Sam Skinner?
I'd probably pick Gloucester's.
Yeah, exactly. Back row, Lonsdale, Armand, Lorde.
I'd have Armand, but I would probably have Clark and Morgan again, because I've got a lot more game tape.
I just want to say this as well. Gareth Evans playing again. I've not seen him for years, but he used to be absolutely lighting up. So great to see him playing.
God, they've got some good options in their back row, haven't they?
It's unbelievable. Willie Hines or Jack Maunder?
Hines,
definitely.
Danny Cipriani or Gareth Steenson?
Sippers.
Right, yeah.
Sippers. I mean, he's too talented, isn't he?
I love Steenson.
I do as well. I mean,
you'd have Thorley over O'Flaherty.
Yes.
You'd have
Williams.
Sam Hill and Ian Whitten versus Owen Williams and 12 Trees.
I'd probably pick I'd probably pick 12 Trees and Whitten on form at the moment.
Sharples or Cordero?
Cordero.
I'd take Cordero.
And then Woodward over.
And then Joe Simmons at fullback or Jason Woodward. I'd take Woodward.
Yeah.
So there's quite.
So they're going back to Exeter being better than the sum of the parts, doing the fundamentals perfectly.
Yeah.
And one thing to note, the penalty count was 14 for Gloucester, 4 for Exeter. So that helps.
What do you think a reset for Exeter is? Do you think they just turf out any established talent and just replace them with other lads from the local area?
No, it's...
And go and win some games.
It's done with hair clippers.
Ah, yes.
Good trim.
A ceremonial haircut. Yeah.
These massive Zimbabwean back rows just aren't doing it. Let's just go and get a guy from a Cornish tin mine, bolt him onto the side of the scrum, and we'll go and beat Gloucester.
The other thing to notice about this was just how much territory and possession that Exeter had, and how they controlled it in their forwards. And the tackle count of the Gloucester pack is unbelievable.
Yeah. Do you know why we're not top-level coaches, though?
Why?
Because every one of us has picked Danny Cipriani over Gareth Steenson. And actually, if we were even closer...
Who's
level...
Who's won a premiership?
Sorry?
Yeah, and which one's won a premiership?
Exactly. If we ever aspire to know as much about Rob Baxter, we should always pick Gareth Steenson.
Yeah, you're probably right.
But he's so shiny and cool.
Those platinum wrists.
Yeah, he's so good at rugby. It's so hard not to pick him.
Very quickly, not going into any detail about the other games that we've not touched on. So we've not really mentioned Saracens' win at Cardiff.
That's fine.
In dreadful conditions.
Yeah. I will mention this.
The try at the end was a bit... I'm sure Jamie George did not get that
ball
down.
Yeah, I'm sure he didn't get it down.
JBBB, what do you want to say?
JBBB. Oh, yeah.
I just put BB on the end of your name.
Yeah. God, those guys. I will say this about that group in general, though. I was invited on Talk Sports to talk about the Champions Cup, giving a roundup. And do you know who I said would be my my surprise package of the Champions Cup?
Saracens?
Nope. Leon.
Ooh.
Leon have not registered a single point. So that is surprising. not the reason.
So yeah, Glasgow did have a good win.
Your own relationships with people does often blind you.
But they're a good team.
Carl Ferns.
They're a damn good team. I can't believe they've not won a single game or registered a single point.
next season. This is their first season in the Champions League, Champions Cup for a while.
It was for La Rochelle last year as well. He got to the quarterfinal.
Yeah, true. Fair enough.
And, did you see the red card for Leon?
I've not seen it, no.
I didn't think it was a red card. Mind you, I need to watch it. I only saw it very, very quickly. But it was kind of like a charge down. As he's charging down, his elbow went in someone's face. I thought,
Yeah, it looked a little petulant. It looked like he did it deliberately.
I need to watch it again because I have honestly just seen it.
I would have been
once.
Happy with the yellow, but I can understand.
Well, if he hits
someone
in the head.
Red.
I mean, I thought it was completely accidental. But, like I
but
said,
that phrase that we said would start happening started to happen because someone said. And they didn't say, we haven't quite got to the point with if you put your hand in someone's face, which will probably get to at some point, like they do with football. But what they actually said was contact was made with the head. So actually, the force of the people were disregarding the force of the contact.
Yeah. Do you know what I hope never happens in rugby? They never say things like, he's entitled to go down. No one's entitled to go down.
Yeah, I hate that.
Entitled to go down, ridiculous.
Just a little tug on someone's shirt.
I'm so angry about the thing in rugby that hasn't happened yet. what games have we got next week? Is it Premiership?
Yes.
Yes!
Premiership.
We get to play Fantasy Rugby Draft again.
Yeah.
In fact, we need to exchange our players back, Phil.
Oh, do we?
Yeah.
Perfect. Friday night.
I need Marcus Smith.
Right, okay,
I'm going to do the rundown of games.
Go on then.
So,
should we do Pro 14 first?
Yeah, let's do that.
Because it's the Derby games these next couple of weeks.
Yeah. Cardiff versus Dragons. Oh, yeah, Dragons have sacked a coach.
Oh, yeah.
Bernard Jackman.
Gone.
Oh, yeah, there was some other...
He left. By mutual consent.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
One of those.
Wasn't sacked. He left.
I really think he... Well, it's hard to say he's the right man for the job when they've done so poorly. But like, I don't think anyone's going to do a better job than that. Well, maybe they
depends on how much money they're willing to spend.
Well, allegedly, Sean Edwards is coming in.
He is. Yeah. Well, apparently, yeah. Like you say, that's...
But like Sean Edwards has got a contract in 2020 to go and work for Wigan.
So a short-term move while he's still contracted by the WRU.
Yeah, I don't like it at all. Really, they should. I mean, there must be a young, exciting Welsh coach that really wants to, learn something or test some ideas at Dragons.
Mm.
Yeah, right. It'd be devastating if they brought in like a Reece Ruddock or someone.
So Cardiff are going to win at home.
Mike Ruddock.
Cardiff are going to win at home.
Yeah, I think Cardiff are legitimately quite good when they get people, get all their players out. So yeah, fine, Cardiff at home.
And Ulster Munster.
What's the big in that?
You tell me, Phil. You're the super fan.
Well, they'll both have their eye on the second weekend in January. In January, but these are big games, and it's the last home game before Christmas. Ulster are going to want to put in another big one.
Yeah, give me Ulster.
Ooh, give me Munster.
I think those pride Ulstermen will do it in front of their home crowd.
Yes.
Is it Joey Carberry had a shocker? That's the other thing we should have said. In relation, yes, some decisions didn't go Munster's way. In the past, they've gone their way, so these things even themselves out. But they had the opportunities to win and blew it. And Joey Carberry had a bad, missed four from the kicking tee.
Mm. The last one was particularly difficult.
It was.
But... Yeah.
Yes, on to Saturday, Jay.
Osprey Scarlets.
Ooh.
So, Scarlets, despite being woeful this year in Europe, are actually domestically pretty effective.
I mean, they're a very good outfit.
Starting to get some of their big guns back. They're missing, and I was chatting to John Barkley on Friday night, of the side that played in the semi-final of last year's Champions Cup, they haven't had all season... And partly because some of them have moved on, like John Barkley himself.
And Tyburn,
who they're missing those two massively.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they've been without six of their back five on that day.
Yeah. Ooh. It's amazing.
So none of their second row or back row or one of the men on the bench not involved.
Yeah. God. Shingler.
That is huge.
Shingler was honestly developing into one of the best back row in the United Kingdom.
Yeah.
Just knee injury, done.
Yeah, because he had it all as well. He had the physicality.
Yeah.
He had the line out. But also his running game and his offloading game was brilliant.
Do you know when Scarlets won the Pro 14? I think that was his last game under contract for Scarlets. That's kind of how threadbare Scarlets were when they won it. And they obviously re-signed him straight afterwards.
Yeah.
Lads like him. Jake Ball, I think, has been carrying some injuries. They are pretty good at home. Pretty good in the league still.
Do you go to the Ospreys and win?
Ospreys.
I think they will.
Yeah.
Give me Ospreys.
Give me Scarlets. Give me Ospreys. I've changed my mind.
This is a tasty one,
isn't it?
5:15 on Saturday.
I might watch that.
Edinburgh hosting Glasgow.
Yeah, I love how Edinburgh play.
Yeah, they're a really, really good team.
They remind me a lot of how Toc H wants to play.
There's a massive clear out happened in their players, and it looks like Richard Cockerell's gone in there and been given license to go, I'm going to keep the people I want to keep, and I'm going to get rid of anyone I don't fancy.
Tell you what,
and he's got rid of a load of players.
Yeah.
If only he was given license to do the same thing at Tigers, eh?
Yeah.
If only he was in control of the.
If he had total control.
I'm going to listen back to the podcast, see what I said about Richard Cockerell before he got fired. I'm sure it wasn't this complimentary.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I said, I definitely thought you should have been fired.
And also, I need to listen back to what I said about Leicester Tigers' structure being the correct structure, run by the wrong people.
I'm pretty sure, and I'm willing to say it was because I was blinded by the fact that I'd interviewed Cockers a few times by this point, and I really, really loved the way he spoke, that I was blinded by that. So I think if you listen back to our podcast, I will be defending him right till the very bitter end.
I think you probably did, actually.
Yeah.
But I accept that's because I was blinded.
I'm going to say, there is one thing which is consistent about Richard Cockerell, and that's people that have met him instantly sort of like him.
Yeah.
So people around the game who you talk to, they always speak highly of him, which is, it's got to be worth something. There are some coaches that no one speaks highly of.
And he's got real spit and sawdust background. He's kind of, maybe not quite like Ellis Genji, Noel West, but looping back to the start of the podcast, he's someone that he did. There's no public school system that produced Richard Cockerell.
No.
Cockers.
He's a great character.
Absolutely.
I'm going to go for
Edinburgh.
Edinburgh at home.
At home.
Give me Glasgow.
That'll be a good game.
That's a really good game.
Yeah, it's probably game of the week. Game of the week.
Well, Ulster Munster is up there as well. 7:45. So three games on Saturday, all at different times. 7:45, Leinster hosting Connacht, which you'd imagine will be a fairly handy home win.
Yep.
The big news coming out of Leinster this week was Johnny Sexton has signed on till 2021.
Wow.
When he will be 36.
Wow.
He only plays 7 Pro 14 games a season. It's fine.
And he's never really relied on his pace.
2021.
No, he hasn't. You're right, actually, yeah.
So he
creates space for other people.
He does. And his crossfield kick it was Adam Byrne this weekend, was sensational, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So that's three. He signed up for 3 Pro 14 finals, effectively.
maybe a couple of Grand Slams and a World Cup.
Yeah.
And then the biggest game of the weekend, Jay, in the Guinness Pro 14.
Here we go. Huge.
Zeb Ray Benetton on Sunday, 2 p.m.
Yeah, well, Zeb Ray, not so good. Root to the bottom of the table. But Benetton, relentlessly hunting down Phil's Ulster, much like we did last year.
Was it successful in the end last year?
It was not successful in the end last year. But this year it will be, and I fully expect a Benetton win. The boys to blow away those scumbags in Zebre. Yeah, we get pretty animated about it.
The scumbags from Parma.
Well, let's move to the Premiership then. Friday night is a big game.
Yeah, it's huge. I love this game. Worcester, Northampton.
Benny Teo back. He better be back because he has not played a minute for my fantasy rugby draft team. Yeah,
he's still in New Zealand, pal.
Yeah. No, he'll be back.
He's still in New Zealand.
He'll be back.
He's got a rest.
Oh, that's exactly what.
Six Nations coming up in 6 weeks' time.
And that's exactly what Worcester will do. Play Ben Teo. No, they'll never play Ben Teo.
Yeah, they will. They'll play him. I'm willing it to happen.
They don't need him. They've got Ryan Mills and they've got Venter.
Nah, they'll play
Beck. Ashley Beck.
Mills and Big Beck, BBT.
Isn't Ashley Beck got a broken leg?
Maybe.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's all about BBT. Who's going to win? Worcester at home or Northampton away? Northampton Worcester. Had a rest week, as it turned out.
They did, but they were shoveling snow.
Excuse me.
Good night. There was no director of rugby. There's no picture of a director of rugby shoveling snow how humble they were.
Dean
Richards.
I tell you what, if they paid me 300,000 or whatever they paid director of rugby, or half that, no way on earth would I pick up a shovel. It's just such a wasted, of resources. I'll never understand this. Why you get
could be watching game tape.
Yeah, exactly. Like, why do we want players who we pay £500,000 a year picking up tape? Just got someone to sweep the changing rooms. Let them practice lineouts. Complete misuse of resources.
Absolutely. Give me Worcester.
I think Worcester as well.
Look, Northampton. Northampton have done some impressive things this season, but only fairly infrequently. So, yeah, Worcester. Worcester had a good win. I can't remember who against. Was it Pau?
Pau.
They beat.
Let's talk about one towards the foot of the table. And I talk about an impressive result of the weekend. Bristol going to La Rochelle and winning.
Did they?
Huge. Ugh. Pat Lamb said that's a massive turning point in their season, he described.
Now, La Rochelle have beaten some of the top teams in the top 14, is my understanding.
Yeah. So, Pat Lamb was saying that's a huge turning point in their season. Their away form hasn't been great, and they've gone to a real cauldron.
Bloody hell, that's... win.
They now go to
somewhere
where it's a very, very difficult to go. The atmosphere could not be further removed from... The stadium in the Stade Rochelle.
Have you been to? You need to go to the corporate bit of Cell Shocks. Phenomenal. Yeah. A game that I will be attending live. You might even be able to come to the Shark Tank and watch me interview whichever player that they give me. So that will be good fun. Sail to destroy Bristol Bears at home in a good 20-point win.
I think Sale will win. I do think they'll win, not by loads.
Yeah, I think Sale.
Let's put it this way: they really need to win.
They both teams need to win. Sale marginally more than Bristol.
Yeah. Well, Bristol are on like the edges of a playoff spot.
No. It's 2 points. Yeah. They've got a few losses in there in a relegation spot. Everyone needs to win, but you have to win your home games. Ooh. When you're playing teams around
24
you.
24 points is playoffs now, and they're on 18.
And talking of basement battles, well, let's go to Welford Road. Well, I mean, Harlequins aren't in a basement.
Harlequins are not. Harlequins are.
These are two teams that you couldn't. They could go fourth to 12th.
Give me Harlequins.
I think Leicester. I mean, Leicester should win this. This is the sort of game Leicester absolutely should win.
Absolutely, which is why they're not going to win it.
Yeah.
Give me Harlequins.
Harlequins away though.
Harlequins.
Yeah, I'm going Leicester at home.
So this season, Harlequins are doing different things this season.
They are, and they're not. Look, they're beating Exeter at home, but they beat Saracens at home. That's such a Harlequins thing to do.
Leicester are going to put a tiger in the dressing room and win.
Ooh.
Quins will have a bear in the dressing room, so Quins are going to win.
Yeah, all I'm going to say is... This is a classic case of a movable object meeting a resistible force, and I just don't know which one's going to come out on top.
Harlequins can't win away. Leicester can't win at all.
Yeah, let's find out.
They're both going to lose.
I'm going to go, yeah.
Yeah, is there a way that both these teams can lose? Because that's what I think.
Exeter v Saracens.
Here we go.
3 p.m. Saturday.
Oh, wow. Oh, God.
Immovable objects, unstoppable force.
Wow.
Give me Exeter. So I like the way that Baxter was talking about the kind of reset button and going back to basics. And I think Exeter... know what they need to do against Saracens. I think Exeter are going to win this.
I think Saracens. Look, you can go plenty far with great team spirit, togetherness, systems, and you can go really, really far with sheer talent. But at some point, you need talent and systems, and I think Exeter are a little bit threadbare with injuries and such like. Saracens have got it all, and they're all fit, pretty much. Saracens, well, not all fit, but they're fit enough.
Yeah, Saracens went to Sandy Park and won away last year.
Yeah.
Early in the season. I think Saracens are going to edge it.
I mean, they won this week, didn't they, with, was it Dom Day and...
Skelton.
So, you know, a Toji potentially... Oh, no,
he's out.
A chipped knee.
Yeah.
And so is Cruis. Not chipped knee, but he's out.
On to Sunday... Newcastle, Gloucester.
Gloucester need to win this. If they want to be legitimate, they've got to win this.
Give me Gloucester. But Newcastle are bottom of the table. Newcastle need a win.
Yeah, they really do.
And Newcastle, it didn't help them. So we spoke last week about their tight head prop crisis. This week, after 20 minutes, they'd already lost Johnny Williams and Naguza.
Chris Harris was hobbling around for a lot of the game.
Yeah, he was really struggling all game. So
they are struggling.
Newcastle. So give me Gloucester.
Big injury problems. I think Gloucester might edge it. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Gloucester will win this.
And another two teams that, well, basically the same kind of game that I'd put Leicester versus Harlequins in. Bath versus Wasps.
Wasps to win at home.
Depends what back row Bath put out. I don't see anyone having an easy time of it against Underhill and Low.
It'll be Low, Underhill and Mercer.
Oh, that's quite nice. Yeah. Bath are a weird one because, like, you know, outside of that second row, they just seem to be full of, like, replacements.
Yeah, they're overhauling their front row next season.
Oh, big time, yeah. You can tell.
There we go.
Yeah, sorry, so you're saying Wasps for that?
I'm going Wasps at home.
Bath. Tim?
I'm going to go for Wasps.
Are you working any
no,
of these?
No.
None?
No.
Have you been stood down?
Not working until the new year now.
Oh.
Great.
Relax.
Good. The European weeks are...
pretty tough. Yeah, so tough, you're in Belfast on Friday night.
Yes.
Train to Dublin? Drive?
A little seven-seater taxi with some of my colleagues.
Nice.
Who's in the bus?
No names.
No names?
As in, I'm not telling you. There was no one that you would know.
No core talent, though, Tim?
Well, no, because the talent, the you know, they all do three games a weekend in most cases.
Yeah.
So they're flying from A to B.
So they're going all. They're going. They came into Dublin on the Saturday. Like Nick Mullins, for example, came in on the Saturday.
Well, they did a lot from the studio this week.
Yeah, they still send people out to the grounds and stuff. Yeah, but you know it was great. So I got there. Got to Dublin by bus. Stayed at. I love it. The hotel where it's literally 100 meters to the stadium. It's so good.
To the Aviva.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Nice, because the Aviva is a little bit out of the centre. I walked it last time I was
there. Yeah, Balebridge.
Oh, the previous time I was there.
I'll tell you one thing. I don't think it's betraying any trust. I think it's just demonstrating how big a name in Dublin Brian O'Driscoll is, which I'm sure you can imagine.
Brian O'Driscoll, okay. is he on the shortlist for Irish Sports Personality again?
So we were struggling to find anywhere to eat after the game. There's a few colleagues. We were trying to find somewhere to eat. And as you can imagine, last home game Leinster before Christmas is a big one. Also, loads of works parties and friends.
Yeah,
just couldn't get a table. Brian O'Driscoll said, "Oh, I'll try and get one for you." Anyway, we got to this place and it was absolutely rammed. And one of my colleagues had apparently tried to book a table there a few days ago, and they said, "Sorry, we're fully booked." We got there; the place is rammed, but right in the middle, prime spot. There's one huge table completely empty, which like. Because
it's for Brian.
Because Bod.
It's always reserved for Mr. O'Driscoll.
Whenever he needs to turn, whenever his friends need to go there.
Wow.
Yeah.
So everyone says how nice Brian O'Driscoll is, and I believe it. I really do believe it. He comes across great on TV. But I think it is quite easy to be nice, isn't it, when people reserve you tables? I think I'd be nice.
Everyone loves you. No one ever has a bad word to say about you.
They obviously, you know, did what you do when you're at home, when you're having all the family around for the roast. You get the occasional tables out and put some extra chairs. It's like, yeah, all right, Bod, we'll get some extra chairs out
for you. What we can do. See what we can do.
I love it.
Before we go, I think it's probably just delving into the cesspit, which is social media. With this tweet, for F's sake, to be clear, I don't care that... that Fiore not nominated. I was highlighting whilst Twitter is clamouring for him, him and O'Sullivan. I'm piping up for Best and Jacob Stockdale even. Social media, social justice warriors, go have a herbal tea. Winky face.
Yeah.
Who wrote that? Who wrote that?
I know who wrote that.
We'll leave it there.
Well, so yeah. You can't mention the name Tyson Fury without people then accusing you of being a homophobe apologist. And all I was actually doing was saying...
Home enabler.
All I was actually saying, the whole point of the tweet was Rory Best should have been mentioned in the context of
Rory
sports
Best
personality.
Should, of course he should. Well, he's already won Northern Irish sports.
Stockers did.
Yeah, but, you know, there'll be another one for him. Look, here's the point. If you're getting your moral guidance from a heavyweight boxer, you probably need to look for other sources. That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
And you're allowed. And also, if you do enjoy the story of Tyson Fury and his comeback from literally about to kill himself and being about 25 stone to tying and arguably should have won a heavyweight world title belt all in the space of less than 2 years. If you appreciate that turnaround, it doesn't mean you are for homophobia.
Oh, it doesn't mean that.
It doesn't mean that.
Right. I was complete.
Because apparently, you can't have an. You have to vet everything that anyone's ever said.
That sounds
and
right.
And examine the context of it before you're allowed to say anything about anybody.
Yeah.
And if you want to come join the cesspit,
Podcast. Just whilst we're on Tyson Fury. Forget all the mental health stuff. It doesn't really interest me.
Forget it, JB.
Don't forget it, of course. don't forget it. But what amazed me is dropping 10 stone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not just dropping 10 stone. Dropping 10 stone, I'm becoming a world-class athlete again. Not just a 10... I mean, lots of people have dropped 10 stone. Very few people have dropped 10 stone and then been able to compete with a guy like bloody...
Deontay Wilder!
Yeah.
Who is a world-class athlete.
Yes.
So... Yeah, there's a film in here somewhere.
Yeah, so if you want to watch Social Justice Warriors getting into me and JB, he's at JB Moore. I'm at Cocker. Phil won't give out his lurking account.
He just watches
from afar, but he's out there.
He'll just lurking. Slide into your DMs.
And on that, let the boys play.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.